Thursday, January 25th.
WISR now presents It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. Dave is off today, so we have a special guest host. It's Your Turn is Butler County's only live call-in talk show. You can join in the conversation by calling 724-283-2525. And now, let's join It's Your Turn and today's special guest host.
And good afternoon. How are you? All right, so I took my two-minute break, and we're here. We're going again. So here we go. It's a marathon run once again. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey, of course, for It's Your Turn. And as I will say every day until he comes back, he had a bit of vacation in the beginning of all this, and then he felt ill, so the company just said, hey, you know what? Just go ahead and take care of that and get some rest. So whenever he's back from his brief illness, then he will be back on his show. But we have a full lineup today, which is going to be very exciting because I have to correct myself on one thing I said yesterday. I'll tell you about that in just a moment. Let me give you the rundown. We're going to talk about the Ice Festival that's happening in Butler in February. So blink and it'll be here. We're going to talk about that for the first half hour. Then we're going to kind of slide into the Rotary, but the Rotary's here for the Ice Festival as well, so we'll mix all that together, but we'll talk just the Rotary at 1 o'clock with Jim Thompson. Then at 1:30, we talk to the Carnegie Science Center. Now, I don't know if you know this, but next week on the 31st, I do believe, it is called the Super Blue Blood Moon. So we've heard of the Super Moon, we've heard of the Blue Moon, we've heard of the Blood Moon. This is all at the same time. So it's like everything that you want to go see when the moon has something special, this is it. And he told me at one point that this is when the moon could see every sunrise and sunset on the earth at the exact same time. It blows my mind. But we're going to talk about that at 1:30. And then before we leave today at 2 o'clock, this is what I have to correct myself on. Okay, we're going to talk to another winery. And, of course, we have the Wine Fest that's coming at on Saturday, the 27th. Tickets are still available. I can do that plug right now. If you want your tickets early, you can save yourself a couple of dollars, and you just give us a call, stop by, or butlerradio.com. You have WISR680.com. You can get your tickets that way, too. We're going to talk to another winery at the Wine Festival. Now, what I have to correct myself on is yesterday when I told you about we're going to talk to a winery that makes wine with no grapes. You remember me saying that? Okay, so today is the winery that we're going to talk to. It's Kingview Mead, and there's the word mead in there for that purpose. And so we're going to talk to the representative from Kingview, the owner there, and explain how did they make this wine and how did they make it taste so good out of mead. So that'll be around 1:45 this afternoon. All right, so we have cloudy skies, we have a bit of snow, we have no ice, which is good. We don't want ice to fall, but we do want to see this ice festival coming up in just about a couple weeks away. So Joyce Colley is with us. She works with United Place, owns it, right? I told you, yes. I'd promote you very quickly. And president-elect of the Rotary as well here in Butler. Dina Martinez, always nice to see you. Next to your bank is where you work, but you're also the co-chair of the Rotary here in Butler. Welcome, ladies. Nice to see you today.
Thank you for having us.
So is it cold enough yet to have the ice festival?
It's plenty cold enough after the weather we've had with the ice festival the past 2 years. We've had 60-degree days both years.
I know. That's a little I want to ask you about that, but let me get this out first. Saturday, February 10th is the date of the ice festival this year, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. So what did you do in the past couple years whenever it was 60 degrees?
Well, they carved the ice, and it was very easy to carve. We do multiple sculptures during the day, and they said it carved like butter because the weather was so warm. They just didn't last as long for us. There was plenty of ice viewing the entire Saturday that we had the events. They just didn't last for weeks and weeks like they may if we have a spurt of cold weather for the event.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, too, because I often wonder how long ice sculptures of that size and thickness actually lasts.
Yeah.
So they last pretty long.
They can, especially the larger ones. We have sculptures 12 to 14 blocks. The ice slide, which is a popular sculpture for the kids, lasts for probably a week or two, even with warmer weather, but it will last a long time without that.
And that's probably in a week or two, one of those things that who's going to be the last kid that actually goes down that little slope and it breaks through. Not that we want kids to get hurt, not at all, in any way, shape, or form, but you know, you want to be on that whenever
I'm at Diamond Park every day. I work in the Morgan Center with Next Tier Bank, so
yeah.
I go over and knock some over if I think that they're not going to be safe
anymore. You always keep an eye on that, but yeah, that is a fun slide. I've seen that, especially with the great video you have online. Mm-hmm. It's Butler Rotary, or AM, don't forget the AM, butleramrotary.com, and you can see the video of that. Yeah. And that's a lot of fun. Joyce, tell me about the inspiration to have the Ice Festival in the first place a couple years ago, and just the continuing joy that it brings to this city.
Well, as I came in after they had already started it, as I understand, they had some other fundraisers. They would do several through the course of the year to raise money. And I believe it was Dick Musco that came up with the idea. He had seen an ice festival in another town and suggested that they do one. I came in onto the Rotary the week before the ice festival, the first ice festival, and was pretty amazed at the turnout. It was an extremely warm day that day, but you want a temperature just a little bit milder because it brings the people in. It brought a lot of people in, but like Dina said, you may not get the quality of the ice was starting to slip by the end of the day. But it's been a great fundraising event. It raises, we net over $20,000 from the event, which is all funneled back into the charities in Butler County, the surrounding areas. So it's been a great success from what I could see. We're hoping for really big things for this year. But if you haven't been there, come on down to Diamond Park. It is really interesting to walk around and see all the different sculptures. It's good to see the businesses that have supported us by purchasing ice, the different designs that they choose for their business. A lot of them are, they happen to have ice sculptures that reflect whatever that business may be. So everybody walks around Diamond Park, grabs some food from the food vendors with the beer and the wine for the adults, and then lots of children activities as well.
So let me ask a little bit about the businesses and then picking a sculpture. So is that done prior to this event? So those are already done, or are those done on site the day of, the carvers that they're there?
Dina, as I understand, some that they know what the designs are, they get a head start on some of these, correct?
All of the single block sculptures are done prior to the event. So they have those already in the refrigerator truck and they bring them to us from Jeanette. That's where
our
ice sculptures are from. So all of the single block sculptures are done prior to the event. All of the large, they call them giants, so five blocks or more, are carved on site. This year, I think that we have six or seven that are coming, including the slide, a throne, which is great for picture taking, Deal Automotive, which is our main sponsor for the event. We thank them very much for staying with us for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have a large vehicle on site. Conlon Tarker will have a shamrock with a pot of gold. We also have Cochrane Subaru, which will be there with us again for the third year. So we're very excited about that. They have an interactive car, which kids can sit in and take a picture with that. We also have Butler County Ford. They're going to have the new 2017 Mustang GT California Special.
Mm.
So that'll be carved in ice as well.
Oh,
so
that's going to be ice too.
All of those will be done on site.
Oh, wow.
So it's great to see. There's such artists, the DeMartino Ice Company. They've been doing this for years, and they're so good at what they do.
DeMartino's, now that you mentioned that, Jeanette, you
that
said, yes, I know exactly where they are. It, my husband was from down that area, and we go down there with family, and I'd see that building, you know, time and time again, and so now it's a great connection for them to come up here to Butler. Mm-hmm. So how many ice carvers do they have, do you know?
They bring, I believe, seven ice carvers with them, and they carve different things during the day. So, you know, there might be two working on this one and another one working on the throne and one working on a car. So you can see those throughout the day. But there's, I believe that they bring seven people with them to do the carving.
Pretty interesting, too. Do they all stick with chainsaws, do you know, or do they have special tools?
They have like these things that look like
little picks,
hammers,
and for the intricate details. So what they can do with the bigger instruments, they do, and then they get down to the fine tuning with the smaller. Mm-hmm. It really is they're an artist.
They are.
Yeah, they're artists.
And I've spoken to artists here on the show, and I always ask them, if you make a mistake, do you just cover it up? I wonder what they do. You know, if they just say, oh, I planned that.
I think that they could melt some and then redo. On the ice. I think it's a little bit more forgiving maybe than some things. So, yeah.
That's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. That's pretty neat. So tell us how you do bring in the money. Is it primarily from sponsors? Or because this is just a free event, right, for the public to go and see.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, there's no admission at all. And all the money is raised by people purchasing these block of ice. Our bigger sponsors, as Dina mentioned, Deal and the other.
Yeah, the other fine
ones,
folks that are there.
They,
yeah,
they,
great businesses.
They pay, and, you know, we have to pay for the ice, so there's profits on that. So we just try to sell as much ice as we can, not only to raise more money, but it brings in more people. The more ice there is for them to see, it keeps them occupied. And
so I would assume we still have time. I say we, meaning people, businesses, whoever's going to buy the ice. We still have time to do this?
I saw the cutoff date's February 1st.
The cutoff date is February 1st for our design store, Ice People, because they will do those single blocks prior to coming here.
So there's still opportunities for people if they're interested. I said we had 3,500 to 4,000 people come through last year, so it's a great way to expose your business.
Absolutely.
And to really have a help a great cause.
And the money goes to the Rotary.
Goes to us, which all we spend 100% of the proceeds funneling it back into charities, into Butler. So
right. The Butler AM Rotary Charities is a 501c3. And our main sponsors for our event this year will be the Kids Weekend Backpack Program, which is a great program that we have here in Butler. It's in the elementary schools here in Butler, helping kids that are food insecure for weekends and also over holidays. In addition, we'll be working towards hopefully building a children's memorial park at Butler Memorial Park. That is something that is in the works, and we're hoping to work towards that. So those will be two of our main main recipients of our funds that we raised this year. But also we have other charities that we work with every year.
Yeah, and when we hit 1 o'clock and Jim Thompson comes in, we'll talk a little bit more about that park because I'd like to hear the details of what you have planned for that. But back to the ice festival, there's a chili cook-off associated with this too, right?
There is.
We don't go anywhere without eating, so tell us about the chili cook-off.
Dina probably has a little more information on that.
Yeah, the chili festival has been great. This year, I know that we have 5 or 6 confirmed vendors going to participate in our chili cook-off. Conley's will be there. The Craft House from Days Inn will be there. King's Restaurant, who was our winner last year, will be there again this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Monroe Hotel, which is one of our favorites. And also we have a new entry this year. Pig Iron Public House will be with us. So those are the confirmed entries. Hopefully we'll have a couple more prior to the date, but we have those already confirmed. And it's great. The one thing is the ice carving is a free event. So you can view all of the ice carving. The entertainment that we have there is all free. But it is $5 if you want to sample the chili, and you sample from all of the vendors that are there. And then also it is $5 if you want to sample with the wine, brew, and spirits tasting.
Okay, so let's go with the chili first. Okay. So if we pay our $5, now the $5 just for the chili, right?
That is correct.
And then it's going to be a separate price if you want to do the wine.
That is correct.
Okay, so then when we go to this particular chili cook-off, I've been to some where they run it a little differently. So how is this going to be run when we pay our $5? Do we get the bowl? Explain how we would run through this.
It's a longer plate, and they give you you take it around, and each one will give you a sample cup with a sample of the chili in it. So you'll go to each of the vendors and sample their chilies, and then we have ballots, and the public gets to vote on who the best chili is. So you'll get a ballot with that as well, with your chili samples, and vote at the end.
Yeah, and that's always fun too, to see who, you know. We've gotten chili recipes off of people at different chili cook-offs. Have you done that too?
Yes.
And do you have a favorite?
I was kind of partial to our winner last year, but I'm anxious to see, especially with the new vendor coming in, what they have. But all of those are set up in the Art Center, Tracy, down on Main Street.
Yeah.
So if it does happen to be a colder day, it's a warm venue. You can go in and enjoy the chili, vote on that. And that's also where some of the children's activities are as well.
That is correct.
And what do they have this year for children's activities, Dina?
We have a lot of children's activities this year. We will have the Kids Weekend Backpack Program group will be there, and they're going to have crafts for children in the Art Center, so that'll be a warm event. outside we will have a balloon artist. Actually, we'll have two this year. It was the most popular event that we had last year. So, and we had long lines for the kids. So we hope to avoid that this year. And we're going to have two of the balloon artists on site. So they're crafting balloons for kids. We also have Great Clips. We'll have a character there so kids can pose for pictures. I believe that the Ox from the Butler Blue Sox will be there for pictures with kids as well.
Then we have the Fire Eaters. And
the Fire Eaters.
Fire Eaters and the dancers are going to be performing at 12, 1:15, and 2:30, and they do that right to the right of the courthouse on Main Street.
Okay, so, separate from the ice carvers, because if you have Fire Eaters with ice carvers, we have an issue.
It seems like an unlikely combination, right? Yeah. It was really entertaining to see them. So
they're amazing. They're just amazing.
And
just
we try to have
them.
Activities spread out throughout the day because the event runs, you know, from starts at 11 o'clock. Runs through
to about 4 o'clock,
exactly.
I think. Yep.
So no matter what time you come, there's going to be something being carved. There's going to be this entertainment going on. The chili does go till 3, so you want to make sure you get there by 3 o'clock if you want to participate.
Yeah,
in
it's
that.
While supplies last for the chili.
Yeah, right. So. I mean, isn't that the truth?
Somebody did actually run out.
Our first year, it was so warm, and it was such a wonderful event the first year. We had more people than we could have possibly imagined. And we did run out. I think we ran out by like 1:30 or 2 o'clock our first year.
Oh, wow. And this is a few hours long, like we just said. So that's
being the first year, we had no idea what the attendance was going to be. And it was quite remarkable how many people came out. So
I think that's one thing about Butler, though. We hold something downtown, and people come out for it.
They do. They do. And it was really great to see that many people in Butler. Also, hopefully it gets them downtown seeing the businesses that are there and hopefully patronizing some of them while they are there as well. So just it's a good downtown event.
It is. It really is amazing. And I always think back to the parade that we're always in and host, because we go down that parade route and all of a sudden you're like, where did all these people come from? I love you all. Where'd you come from? So, and it's nice to go downtown to see the different events, and it can be wall-to-wall people. You know, you can have some space, but since you have things spaced out so many places, then it'll be nice to be able to have some room there. Are you going all the way down Main Street, or are you just in a good section around the Diamond?
We close from Wayne to Cunningham, so it's actually a 2-block section that we close, so we disrupt less traffic than some other events downtown, but it's enough for our event. So it's the 2-block section from Wayne to Cunningham that will be closed. And they also close Diamond. You can't use Diamond Street either.
Yeah. So again, this will be on Saturday, February 10th. I know it's a couple of weeks out, but if you are a business that you would like to get one of these ice sculptures done, then you want to get ahead and get on that, because that deadline is February 1st. So how do we get a hold of you? Do we get a hold of the ice company? If we are a business that wants to do this, what's the process?
All of our information is available through our website, which is thebutlerAMRotary.com. All of the forms and all of the information is listed there. Also, phone numbers are listed for anybody that is interested in participating in the event.
So what is your favorite sculpture? Have you had a favorite sculpture in the past?
I would have to say the ice slide is my favorite every year, because the kids enjoy it so much and it brings them such joy. And some
quote
kids
unquote,
just
kids, right? You go down it. I know it.
We don't tell everybody that, Tracy.
But the kids do enjoy
it. Also, the throne was a great one, not so much interactive where the kids are having a good time, but a great place to get your picture taken. Right. You know, almost everybody made sure they got stopped there, threw their kids up on the throne and got a snapshot.
So this is the second year for the throne? Or we had the throne?
It actually is the third year,
for the throne.
And this year and last year, the throne has been sponsored by Next Year Bank and BC3 and BC3 Education Foundation. So those are the sponsors again this year. And I believe that we just decided today on the design we wanted. So it will be a castle. It is a castle throne.
Fun.
So we're excited about that this year.
That is really neat. I was just glancing over here on the computer at how fast these guys work. And I say on the computer because you can go to butleramrotary.com and see a video that's been posted about the ice festival. And we got some ice princesses there last year. See the snowman, that's all I can say, right? So what is the big do you have this ice rink again?
We are not having the ice rink again this year. We had it the first year, and although it was somewhat popular with the kids, it just wasn't feasible to have it again last year or this year. We're going to move towards, every year we try to have some new events, and that that's something that we chose to move away from, but we could have that in the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it'll be nice, though. Mm-hmm. It will be nice. I'm amazed at how fast that they work. You know, I don't want to interrupt them, but I want to say, excuse me. Can you tell me how you do that? But they have chainsaws.
Yes. And did we have the Jeep last year, Dina, or is the Jeep going to be new this year? This is new.
The interactive Jeep that we're going to have this year is new.
What's the interactive Jeep?
It actually is the front of a Jeep that you can take your picture behind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's okay. You know, when it's built of ice, it's just amazing. But yeah, that is something new that we're having this year.
A Wrangler?
It's the Bantam Jeep.
The Bantam Jeep.
For what we're famous for, right?
That is. Because you got to do the wave. Did they do the wave back in Bantam Jeep times?
I have no idea.
No, you're looking at me like, what's the wave? So, okay, so let me tell you my short story again. Always have a story. And so my husband's a big Jeep person, and we had a Wrangler for quite some time. And then we moved into another Wrangler. And when we first got together, he's like, okay, watch the other drivers. And, you know, I have no idea what's going on. So I'm like, you know, I don't know. They look nice. I don't know. And he said, no, they're waving. That's what you do. And so I understood the Jeep wave. And if you're in a Wrangler, you wave to another Wrangler. That's it. You can't have a Cherokee and wave to a Wrangler. There are specific rules out here. So, you know,
I had no idea.
That's the Jeep wave.
I thought that was just strictly a Volkswagen bug thing.
The Volkswagens do it too.
They do. If you have a little Beetle, a Volkswagen Beetle, my daughter had one, and I would drive it occasionally and couldn't understand. I thought it was all her friends that were waving to me, but I guess it's just the thing you do. You know?
It is the thing you do. And then it's funny because then when you get into whatever other car that you may have or someone else has, you forget you're still waving to people. It'd still be nice, right?
So we're excited about that Jeep.
So this is an interactive Jeep.
Yeah.
Okay. So do we get to play with toys, or it's more of just a
just
background
a picture
for you?
Tape. Yeah, it's a good picture taking opportunity. Mm-hmm. And another thing, too, we have a 50-50 drawing, and that's going to be what I'm pushing this year whenever I'm there. I think we brought in $1,500, so we split that with the lucky winner. So
someone got $1,500.
Yeah, we're going to be walking around selling 50-50 tickets the whole time. So somebody walked away with $750 last year, and we're hoping to get that up to $2,000 this year and
have a big winner.
Yeah. So
you'll be walking around.
Do you have
a location that will be stationed, though?
Well, we have our rotary tent there. Okay. We'll be selling tickets, and then there'll also be a couple people strolling through the event for those that maybe don't come by the tent to purchase their tickets.
So. Okay, so we have the options for that.
Yes.
Good. All right. Well, we can take a break in just a minute or two. I know I say final thoughts. Dina, you're going to stick with us for a little
You've
bit longer.
You've got me for the whole hour, Tracy.
Yay! And Joyce, how about you? Just any final thoughts before we leave today?
Well, I just hope if everybody's available and Saturday, February 10th, they bring their family out. It's a really great family event. Couples. It was so well attended, and everybody that came was pretty amazed what you can do with ice. Mm-hmm. So just would like to welcome everybody to come. And not only do you have a good time, but your donations or purchases help support a great event.
Yeah. Anything new at United Plate Glass?
Growing and expanding, talking about another location and hopefully adding on. So things are
good.
I
won't put my news hat on and grill you with questions.
Well,
I'll leave that for another day.
We can do that another day. I'd love to come back and talk about that. So,
well, good. So, again, folks, this is going to be Saturday, February 10th at 11 a.m. on Main Street with the chili cook-off and in the Art Center. So it's going to be in the Art Center regardless. Is that right? We're not moving it in just because of weather.
Chili portion and some of the other children.
We had the chili outside the first year. A little cold outside, even though it was a warmer day, but it was windy. It's better to have the food, you know, the chili cook-off inside. So we've had it last year and this year at the Art Center. The food trucks we make be outside.
Yeah,
but
you know,
for the chili cook-off we have inside.
So when you go in, are there places to sit, or is it just going to be carry around?
We have tables, high tables that you can eat at. The limited seating in there, very limited.
Okay,
because we have a portion that's the kids' backpack program, so there's activities for kids.
Okay, no, mm-hmm. Chili cook-offs I've gone to, I'd be there early, eat my food, and then want to see who wins. So what kind of setup is that if I pay my $5 to go in? Oh, we forgot the wine. We got to talk about the wine here in a moment. But if we pay our $5 to go in to eat the chili, can I come back in a little bit later, or do I pay $5 again to get back in?
We're announcing the winner at 3 p.m. up at the Diamond Park. So we're going to, our DJ that will be there with us that day will be announcing the winner at 3 o'clock.
Good. So we can be out and
you
about.
Can be out viewing the ice carving and find out who the winner is of the chili cook-off.
Joyce, I'm going to keep you for another minute because we forgot the wine.
Correct.
So we can't forget wine.
We've
got to
talk about that.
All right. Let's talk about the wine.
So we have quite a few. How many wine people do we have coming, Dina?
It's actually wine, beer, and spirit. Wine, brew, and spirits. So we probably have 7 or 8 people. We have Blackbird Distillery. Butler Brew Works from downtown is going to be with us. We have the Deer Creek Winery. They're up at the mall. They're going to participate this year. DR Distillery, which is up near Slippery Rock. We have the Greenhouse Winery, Missing Links Brewery, which is a new brewery in town here for us. We have Oak Springs Wine, which is our favorite because they've been with us all 3 years. We also will have Recon Brewery, which is newer up on Route 8. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have Wilhelm's Winery. So you can sample from all of those vendors at our Wine, Brew, and Spirit Fest.
Now, where are they going to be set up then?
They'll be set up on Main Street. They'll be headed towards, from Diamond, down towards Cunningham.
Okay, so they're going to be on a street.
They will
so
be.
So we can walk on the... I know we always do that. We, you know, we close the street so we can walk on it. So they'll be in one area. We won't
it's
have to
set
go
up
to
a little
areas.
Different this year. Before they were kind of down the alley beside the Diamond Park, but we're taking it down Main Street this year. Have a little bit more room, right, Dina?
Yeah, we're going to have more of the kids-based events down towards the Art Center. So from Wayne up to the Diamond, and then we'll have our adult activities, having
it's
them
like
from
I-80.
The Diamond Dump.
It's like our Interstate 80 for Butler, right? The one side's kids, the other side's adults, and we can mesh in the middle.
There you go.
There you go. So we're going to have that, too. So how is that going to be set up in the way of identifying if you're 21 years and older? And
you will have to be banded to be able to have any of the samples. Our liquor license will cover samples at each of the vendors. So you will check in at the tent. You will pay your $5, and you will be ID'd and banded at that point. Then that tells all of our vendors that you have had your ID checked, and then you'll be able to sample.
Good.
They will also, at their own discretion, based on their own licensing, be able to sell wine, brew, or spirits at the event.
Very good. It's fun. I'm looking forward to it again. Saturday, February 10th. We're going to take a short break. We're going to let Joyce go back to work, unless you want to stay. We'll keep you if you want. Let you go back to work. Jim Thompson's going to come in with the Rotary, and we'll just pick up the conversation from there. I'm Tracy Morgan, in for Dave Malarkey with It's Your Turn.
Shipping things yourself can be extremely complex. You buy the box, you make sure it's secure, and then you gotta tape it, then lug it into the car, to the post office. Ugh. Make life easier. Take it to Goin Postal. In between Villa Grande and Kings on Newcastle Road, Goin Postal takes care of all of that for you. And hey, they've got Valentine's Day cards as well, local honey, and lottery tickets. It's just a downright good place to go. Goin Postal, 140 Shockey Lane in Butler, if you got to plug it into the GPS, your friendly neighborhood shipping store.
I'm Tracy Morgan, in for Dave Malarkey. I just want to take a moment to talk about our great friends at St. Vincent de Paul. Every day, a sale at St. Vincent de Paul, the thrift store at the Greater Butler Mart. Store hours are between 9 and 7 p.m. Listen to this, 50% off of different clothing Monday, Senior Day, Kids Day on Tuesday, Ladies Day Wednesday, Upscale Day. So 50% off on different clothing on those particular days. On Thursdays with the Upscale Day, you got 10% off furniture that's been on the floor for at least 10 days. Friday, you got Men's Day, back to that 50% off again. You got clothes, shoes, specials on electronics on Men's Day as well. Saturday, you got the sale tag of the week. So if you have a buck, you can go get some clothes. You got the sale tag rack, only 99 cents. You also have the offer of buy one, get the second item for 49 cents. At St. Vincent de Paul, every day a sale day. Again, store hours at the Greater Butler Mart, between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. And we are back. How are you? I'm Tracy Morgan, in for Dave Malarkey, of course, with It's Your Turn. And just programming note, so 1 o'clock now at 1:30, we're going to be talking about the Super Blue Blood Moon. It's all together. It's not one. I know we usually hear about one or the other. But this is combined, so we'll talk about how in the world that is combined. That's going to happen next week, but the Science Center in Pittsburgh has something special to help lead up to the fact that this is happening. And Should I break the bad news right now, Pat, or not? Should I wait until we talk about the blue? Break it now? Pat says break it now. So the gentleman from Science Center says, of course, in our area, like always, this is going to happen right at sunset. So I don't know if we'll see. I know. It's like, are you serious? He's like, but I have a solution for you. That I'll let him tell you about. So that'll be at 1:30. So I'm like, always for us, right? It's either snowing, raining, cloudy, or something when things like that happen. Then at about 1:45 or so, we'll talk to Kingview Mead Winery. And they are the unique winery that makes wine without the grapes. I'll let him explain how they do that because, of course, our wine festival, the Butler County Wine Festival that we host, is on Saturday on the 27th. And so a lot of different wineries there, tickets available. We'll go through all of that in just about 45 minutes. So we switched out. Joyce for Jim.
Yeah, there we go.
Jim for Joyce, however
JJ.
We want to say.
JJ, we're here.
Jim Thompson in. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Doing very well. How about you?
Good, good, good. Of course, with the Rotary, talking about the wine festival. Mm-hmm. Or, well, this particular wine. We have a lot of wine.
Well, we could do
Butler,
the wine festival, too. We could do that. And then we could do this. And then Joyce just let us know there is Wine and Whiskers coming up. So
on February 12th, benefiting the Butler County Humane Society.
Yeah, how about that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We're all about the wine here, which is a good thing. Good thing. Yeah. So what's your take on the ice festival that's coming up? What's your favorite part of this?
Well, I mean, it's the whole thing, right? The whole event. I like the one event that we do versus the multiples that we used to do. I think it's just something fun to do in the middle of winter. When Dick first brought this, we discussed it and said, hey, who does anything in February? But as you heard earlier, the first part of the year, I mean, the first year it was 70 degrees, and I was panicking because it's ice.
It's
and
ice.
70.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Last year was warmer as well, and so I'm waiting for a year that's going to be 40, no wind, and cloudy. That's my perfect day.
And it's kind of funny because I'm a winter person.
Right.
I like
mm-hmm.
winter. I like snow. I do not like 18 below, but I do like winter. And so when you go to these kinds of events, in my mind, I like a little cool weather.
Right, and snow, flickering in the air.
Right.
Sort of like the Christmas parade.
Well, next year, fake snow. What do you think?
That's it. We'll blow it up and down Main Street.
Dina's going
okay,
to pay
we're running that by Vicky's.
I'm not a winter person, so I was okay for the past couple of years. But again, I will take 40 to 45 and cloudy.
They're working with
because
me.
Because the ice will
They're
last
a long
with
time. Me. But what do I like about it? I think what I like about it is, I mean, our club does great stuff, right? The Rotary does great stuff. And this fundraiser helps us do all that. Mm-hmm. And all the community support and all the, you know, you talked about the last half hour, all the different businesses, whether they're chili, whether there's food, whether it's wine or beverages, or whether it's supporting through buying blocks of ice. It's just pulling the community together because all of it goes back to the community. So you feed the community and it goes back. And I think we do a good job at that.
You do a great job at that with the Rotary. Talk about the Rotary, a little bit of its history, because we hear about it all the time.
Sure.
And then we just throw around the name like, we all know its history.
Sure.
And then if we were to take a quiz,
I'd probably fail. Well,
so.
I don't know if I can pass the total quiz, but 1905, I believe, Paul Harris. It was in
Chicago.
Yes, I'm going to say that area, Midwestern area. Group of businesses together to say, how can we help the community? I mean, what can we do better? It's a networking, but it's also a stewardship back to the communities, right? And that's how it started. And it started just going. 1.3 million people, I believe, are members of different Rotary clubs around the world. We're a total service organization. We don't wear funny hats or we don't have horns on our head. No secret handshakes. Anything like that. It's just purely focused on service above self is what it is. Just thinking outside, service above self. We have a four-way test. Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it bring goodwill and friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? And everything we do runs by those four tests. Sort of like the Ten Commandments of life, but in Rotary, it's those four tests or those four mile markers. Mm-hmm. You know, so with that, Rotary grows. It ebb and flows. Membership stays stagnant because we have people that come and we have people that go for various reasons in different parts of life. Right now, the Butler AM Rotary is just a strong club, 37 people members. And for 37 members, we do a lot and we stay active. We're a different club. Some clubs are very formal. They still sing at their clubs. You wouldn't want to hear us sing at all.
I'm not singing, Jim.
I was going to say surprise, Jim, in 2 minutes. No.
And we're a morning club. Mm-hmm. And I invite you to come anytime, 7 a.m. at the Butler YMCA for breakfast. We do eat naturally. I don't know what it is. Every time people get together around Western
Well, if you're
going
to have a handshake or food, I'm going for the food.
We're going for the food. Yeah. We have great food supplied by Monroe Hotel, one of our Carved in Ice sponsors as well. But we have a fun meeting. Our makeup is we have guests that come and say, my goodness, for 7 a.m., how is everybody awake? And most of us are awake at 7 a.m. Some of us are more morning people than others.
As Jim looks at me, yes. I'm not awake at 7 a.m.
I was wondering why they went out that way.
But I give her credit. She's there almost every morning or every Tuesday. So,
So if anyone wants to come, is it then a possibility to join? I mean, how does somebody join the Rotary?
So, you're invited. You can come. If you show an interest and you agree with the four-way test that I said and service above self. It's all about giving back, and it's something you're ready to do in your life. I mean, people reach that at different phases of their lives, you know. I've only been a member for 10 years because you're so busy, right, with family and life, and you reach a point where you say, I want to give back, you know. But they just come. They say, hey, I think I want to join. And there's a little process, a little application.
Sure.
Write a check, you know, pay your dues. We have a board that votes on it, and you become a member. And we look for members that want to be active, right? Not someone that just says, oh, on my resume, I can put down I'm a Rotarian,
mm-hmm.
right? We want someone that says, check, yeah, I'm going to be active in this club. And I must admit, out of our 37 members, we have 37 pretty active people. Mm-hmm.
We do. We're blessed that way, that we actually have a lot of people giving back, participating in our events.
Mm-hmm. Dean, I know I wanted to, talk about the playground, because we mentioned that about 20, 25 mm-hmm. minutes ago, and I wanted to get more into that. But let me ask you this first. How do you decide what you're going to do? Is that on a yearly basis? Are you working already on 2019 now? How do you decide?
It depends on what is brought to our attention. We have a lot of members that we call visionaries, and they bring us great ideas. And we also have people in the community that bring us things that they would like us to assist them with. The playground actually came to us from AK Steel, their foundation there. And they thought that they wanted to give back to the community and refurbish part of Butler Memorial Park as a children's memorial park. And we're excited by that, and that will be a multi-year project. Mm-hmm. So it's just getting off the ground. We're just starting the vision for that. So multi-year for that. Mm-hmm. Other things that we do will be shorter time frame. But I think that they came to us because the Butler AM Rotary is known in the community for being the builders of the Purple Park. Who hasn't been to the Purple Park?
Yep,
you know,
that's
Alameda
right.
Park.
And Jim goes every other month, I think. Got to get on the slide.
Yeah,
right?
Get on the slide. I used to be able to fit through it, but I'm all right.
So a different venue down at Butler Memorial Park, mm-hmm. and they came mm-hmm. to us and said, hey, can you help us with this? And we thought, yeah, mm-hmm. this is a great idea to help the community.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be a joint effort. You know, we're well aware that it's a city-owned park.
Mm-hmm.
We have to work through the city. There has to be a sustainability program there for it. It's all well and good if the Rotary or another organization wants to put something in the park, but it also has to be maintained, and whose insurance does it fall? There's a lot that goes into it, mm-hmm. but that's one of our focuses this year, is to work with the city and work with AK and say, you know, can we refurbish a piece of that? Or, you know, can we do it just to make so the kids have somewhere to go? Our focus in our club, a lot of it is developing youth leadership and children. That's sort of our underlying focus mm-hmm. of our club. So anything we can do to strengthen that through the different programs that Rotary has and for the different things that we support as well.
What programs do you have for youth?
Within Rotary, we have what we call RILA. It is Rotary Youth Leadership
Award
or something mm-hmm. like that. We have ROVA, which deals with more of the vo-technical side. So we have students, and we have different leadership camps that they can go to And most everyone that goes to these come out totally, like, changed. You know, some of the other things we support, Camp Cadet. Camp Cadet's been around a long time. It's a development, youth development camp that's being held right now out of Camp Lutherland, run by Pennsylvania State Police.
So. They moved out to Lutherland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been out of Lutherland for probably 7-8 years or more.
Hmm. No. Okay. Maybe I'm thinking of a different one. I wasn't aware that that's where they were doing it. Right. Are they doing it this month?
August.
In August.
August
okay.
is usually when it happens,
okay.
I believe.
That is correct.
I
August.
Believe.
Yeah.
So most of our stuff we do is with youth, as you'd heard Dina and Joyce talk about the backpack program. I mean, the principal at that time and their staff reached out to, I don't know when, whose presidency it was, yours, mine, whatever. But they reached out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they reached out and said, hey, the Rotary helps with this stuff. And so we worked with them to get that program up and running. So youth is our focus.
So what part do you take in different projects? Some it sounds like you lead, and some mm-hmm. it seems like you're a part of a team.
Yeah.
And some people come to you and you pitch in. So is it just an by an individual basis, or how do you determine what your role is going to be?
Well, we have a board, right? We have a board. And we listen to our membership and say, what is our involvement in this? Is it a totally Rotary project, or is it something we're going to support others in because we have the ability and we know so many people and we have the ability to raise funds? So it's probably a one-on-one. A lot of stuff we support are just letters that come to us and people that speak to our club and said, can you help? You know, and we take that and we review it. So I'll let Dina run down that pipeline a little bit.
We have a full committee, so mm-hmm. if someone requests our assistance, whether it be financial or actually volunteering our members at the event or you know helping with this special project, our committee reviews that, determines if it fits our mold, fits the Rotary Code, and fits our club, which focuses towards children. And then we decide if we're going to move forward with that, and then our extent of involvement. Some people just ask for financial support, which is fine. Other people need boots on the ground. Mm-hmm. So we go out and help with those events.
Do you find that there is not enough programs out there for kids to learn how to be leaders and to develop them into being leaders?
I think they're out there if you look for them.
Okay.
And it's great, the leadership through the schools. We get a lot of our members through Ryla and Rova, through the guidance counselors at the schools. So we do multiple schools in the mm-hmm. area. And then the Rova is through the Butler Votech. Mm-hmm. So having those people help the youth find the programs, I think, is the best fit.
How important do you think these programs are, yours, the ones that you're associated with, in the age of technology? And I ask millennials this all the time because I'm so curious on where their minds are. My kids are young, so where are they going to be, you know, when they grow up in 20, 30 years? You know, is technology just going to be something that they live with and that's how we all start to have to, you know, progress into, if you will. We'll each have a talking robot, I think, by the time we're, you know, 50 years down the road, 20 years down the road.
As long as they cut grass and clean the house, I'm all
for
it.
Yeah, right? Right. But so how important do you think these programs are now? Because there is an age, there's a group of individuals out there who are living, it seems, like a different life than how we grew up.
I think their lives could be different, but I feel like the leadership programs still give them a sense of confidence in themselves. It gives them a different perspective on the world and the things that they can do in the world. Knowing or having the leadership abilities makes them grow as people, so they still have the technology world that's different maybe than what, you know, some of the youth in the past has had, but they still grow as people and into those leadership roles, and it gives them a different perspective.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's interesting. I was going to say, yeah, go ahead, Jim, because as you're talking there, Dina, it reminds me of something that somebody said in our industry. It was said to me years and years and years ago. They said it's not the means of which you get the information out. Well, let me change that. It's not the information that you get out. It's the means at which you get it out.
Yes.
That's the only thing that changes.
It's how you do it.
Yes.
Right? We can have all this technology. We live by these things right now, right?
The cell phone.
IPhone.
Yeah, for the visual radio.
Yeah,
he's
for the visual
up the
radio.
Cell phone.
It's the iPhone. But you can get the information from there, but you need to be able to teach the leadership skills, the communication skills, the interaction skills. If you talk to a lot of people that, or the individuals that come back from some of the rotary functions, the Rova and the Rylas, basically quiet people to themselves, very intelligent. And it's when we break them into their networking groups and they have to work on this project together to not an individualist, right? We all can be individualists sitting there looking at our iPhones and thinking we have it. But it's teaching that team building on how to develop a solution with a team, then communicate what your solution is, and then actually prove that solution. So it's all about the interaction, because no matter how much technology you have, you still have to have that interaction and the communication skills to get it out there, the means.
Well, and I really think that the communication, I'll be curious on where communication goes, mm-hmm. the interpersonal communication right. means goes in 10, 20 years.
Right.
Because what I tell people all the time when I'm teaching people on coaching
right.
For public speaking issues, I tell them, you know, right now we're living in what I call a drive-by society where I'm going to mm-hmm. post something on Twitter mm-hmm. or Facebook mm-hmm. and I've had my opinion out there and I don't have anything opposing me, so I'm
right.
just going to walk away.
Right.
And so how is that communication? How
right.
is that learning how to
it's
discuss
not.
Or having an opposing point of view?
Right.
How do you solve the problems,
right.
like you said, Jim? So mm-hmm. that's why I'm always curious about the millennials
right.
and those that are a little younger.
Well, you know, I see it today. I hire and review a lot of people and in my industry. And I can have some very, very smart people, but they don't have any social skills. Their social skills and their communication or ability to take what they know and communicate that to others isn't there because they don't have it. And that's hopefully some of these programs that we give them the confidence, as Dina said, and the ability and the tools in their tool bag to how do I communicate what I want to say? Because no matter where you go with technology, yes, still got to communicate with others or work well with others. And that's what makes a successful leader, team member, is that ability to do that.
Since we're talking about young people, mm-hmm. what's the reaction that both of you have gotten from young people after they're done with those programs? Maybe they're still with you. Maybe they're mm-hmm. continuing. But what's the feedback that you get?
I feel that continually we see people that say it was life-changing mm-hmm. for them. They have grown as people. They see a new perspective. And we even have people that return that actually work with the Rotary Youth Leadership. They come back after years. They say, we still work with this group because it changed me when I went through the program. Mm-hmm. So they give back and they come back and they work with the program. Some of them have worked with the program for years because they felt that it was such a changing time in their lives that they come back right. to work.
And we could have that as a whole nother show. Half an hour
we
show.
Could have it.
We could.
Yeah.
I could
yeah.
arrange that
yeah.
and make that happen.
He has the connection
yeah,
right
I'm making
here.
The schedule. Hey, we've got a whole we'll
1
just
o'clock
fill, we'll just fill that in. 1:30, we'll do this.
How know? Long did we think Dave was sick for?
I know,
no,
right?
No.
Yeah.
Dave, we do miss you, but Tracy's doing a bang-up job, buddy.
It's funny how Jim comes to the door every day.
Yeah.
So if somebody does want to get their kids involved, mm-hmm. What's the age range and how do we go about doing that?
Ryla and Rova, I believe, is senior in high school. They're going to leaving 11th grade, going into a senior in high school.
Between the junior and senior years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that strictly Butler or do you also deal with South Butler, Carn City, Monetaw, whole
private,
area, Butler County?
Private.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
right. Absolutely.
Nice.
Write that down.
They should see their
yeah.
guidance counselor.
Go see the guidance counselor. Go that
right.
route.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, good. All right.
Because they're usually recommended by the schools as there's potential there, right? And they've shown an interest. So, I mean, our club makeup is pretty remarkable. If we look around, we have, you know, my age group, older. Or you guys can guess what that is.
About 25.
Yeah, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some, well, not much younger than that. But we are, I mean, we have a nice blend. And it is different, right? Because you have to, their ideas and their ways of supporting a mission are totally different than 20, 30 years ago. You know, what we find out with millennials, and this isn't coming from Rotary, but, you know, millennials will get behind a cause, okay? And they'll support that cause to the end, but then they're done, they'll move on to something else. You know, so the key is being a Rotarian and being part of Rotary is how do we keep adapting to that? Right now, we got a great blend of age demographics?
Yeah, we have young professionals, people that are just starting in business or you know, not very long. And we have the people that have been in business for a while. And then we also have a group that are retired. So we have that blend the whole way through. We have experience and wisdom with our, you know, retired individuals. And we have the millennials that keep us up to date, that tell us how to attract new members through social media, through things like that. So it's a nice blend that we have in our group right
and
now.
And how to use our iPhones.
Right.
That is true.
Right.
How to fix
how to keep our website up to date.
Yeah, our website up to date.
Social media for your events.
Or do we even use a website anymore? Do we just forget about it and just go Facebook, Twitter, and everything else is out
there? Well, and speaking of that blend, that's the, I think, a unique piece to what you do is because you have the different generations where I like the wisdom there and the experience, and yet I like the new technology. You would learn from each other with all of the gatherings that you do.
And we do. And we do.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right. Oh, I was going to say we're going to take a break, but Pat left. So we're not going to take a break.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, the carved ice... The Ice Festival and the Chili Cook-Off on Saturday. Do you have a favorite company that comes with the chili? Do you have a favorite bowl that you've tasted in the past?
I don't, because usually, like Dina and myself and Dick, we're running around all day. So the chance of even getting down there to smell the chili is about as close as we get.
True.
But it all smells great. You know, most of these places, most of them, we have their chili when we're going out. But no, you'll have to come down and taste yourself.
It is incredible. We were talking about this earlier on how many different kinds of chili that somebody could make, or people make all different kinds.
Oh, they put different meats in them now. They put chickens and turkeys and all kind of stuff in it.
I learned a few things too.
Yeah,
I can't say that I
knew
put chicken. I don't put chicken. You're the third person this week to tell me that they put chicken or somebody that
turkey.
They know.
You got to live in my house. It's chicken, pork, or fish.
We had a white chili last year.
White chili.
We had a white chili with chicken. Yeah, last year. I don't believe that they're returning this year. I think we'll have a lot more of the traditional chilies at our event this year.
Yeah, but even there, you got some lighter ones. You got some tomato-based ones. So the Carved Ice Festival, it's the Ice Festival and Chili Cook-Off on Saturday, February 10th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you want to get your ice sculpture, if you're a business, and Dean, I didn't ask you this, can individuals get the ice sculpture too?
Yes.
No, go ahead, Jim. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jim. No.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anybody. We will take money from anybody. If it's a business, if it's an individual, if you want to buy ice, we can help you with
that. Now, I heard the cutoff was February 1st.
It is.
I'll tell you what. You bring me a check even coming up close to that, and we'll make sure she happens.
All right.
So there's plenty of opportunity out there still for, different people Gary Schneider, if you're still listening out there and stuff, there's different opportunities out there to still participate.
I want to see an ice sculpture of Jim Thompson.
Yeah, a bust, right?
A bust.
Well, there's $100. So you see, if you do something they don't have, there's an extra $100 fee. But if anybody wants to do an ice sculpture of me, I'll pay the $100 fee. And
that'd be fun, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Have each Rotary member
this?
In.
Who
is this?
Yes.
Then you could put a buck in to guess.
Yeah.
And then you could... I love it.
Yeah, here we go.
We could have done that this year, but we decided that we were going to have a rotary wheel ice carving to represent our group this year.
Nice. All right, Jim, thanks for coming in.
Sure, anytime.
Always fun. Glad you did.
Great.
Dina, nice to see you again.
Thank you for having me, Tracy.
And, of course, Jim, we'll see you tomorrow, right? Is that when you're coming back?
Yep.
All right. We'll be back right after this. I'm Tracy Morgan, in for Dave Malarkey with It's Your Turn.
Hi, this is Howie Pentney with Pentney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pentney at Pentney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
For Valentine's Day, treat your sweetheart to an evening of dining and dancing with Pure Gold, Saturday, February 10th, at your hometown Center for Entertainment, Tanglewood. Pure Gold with their signature a cappella vocals and four-part harmonies doo-wops their way through hits of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Doors open at 6 o'clock. Dinner by Chef George at 7. Show starts at 8. As always, it's BYOB. Tickets are $35. Stop by Tanglewood or call 287-0021 for reservations.
This event is presented in part by Deal Automotive, Mars Bank, and Baglier.
Curious about the world around you? From politics and gardening to unlocking the secrets of longevity, Experience Mind Matters, a free series created especially for baby boomers and beyond. Mind Matters is a series for older adults to watch, learn about new things, and then engage with their peers. Contact your local senior center for more information. To locate your nearest center, visit aging.pa.gov. Again, that's aging.pa.gov.
Do you enjoy hunting and fishing? Do you have pictures of your prize catch? Now through January, that's all you'll need to be entered in the Ram Trophy Room contest. Just go to the Ram Trophy Room at PennsWilds.com, submit your trophy picture, and you'll have a chance to win monthly prizes from Steel, Grizzly, and Ram Outfitter. All monthly winners are eligible for the grand prize, $500 worth of truck accessories from Mopar. For official rules and more information, visit the Ram Trophy Room at PennsWilds.com.
Small things can have a big impact. Join the Butler Radio Network as we collect warm, new socks for our Socks for Seniors campaign. Throughout the month of January, we'll be collecting socks that will then be distributed to local seniors. Over the years, we've seen firsthand how the gift of a simple pair of socks has brightened the day of many seniors in the Butler area. Help us warm the feet and hearts of our elderly neighbors during the cold winter months. Socks of all types, styles, and colors can be dropped off at the Butler Network Studios on Pillow Street until January 31st.
I wish I could say it's Friday already, but it's not. Aren't we ready for a weekend? Around here, we're all saying to each other, we need a nap. I know, do you nap? I don't get to nap during the day, so, but that's all right. We are here until 2 o'clock. I'm here with you. I'm Tracy Morgan, in for Dave Malarkey, of course, for It's Your Turn. He'll be back whenever he's all rested up from his brief illness, and he should be returning here real soon. Just wanted to give you the program notes again. In just a couple minutes, we're going to be talking to Kingview Mead. They're a winery that's going to be at our wine festival. They're going to be talking about how they make wine with no grapes. Kind of odd, but they'll tell you how they do it. They do have some wine with grapes, so just to let you know, but they do make a lot of wine without grapes. And what I wanted to do, I'm going to take one more short break, but when we come back on the other side, I'm going to have the Carnegie Science Center with us. And it is pretty amazing on how much scientists know, NASA knows, experts of the sky and the stars and the moon and the sun. And I just, it's amazing to hear this individual talk. And so we're going to talk about the super blue blood moon. You think it might be blue. It's not. It's going to be blood red. And this happens actually next week on the 31st, but they have some, the Carnegie Science Center has an event or two that's going to get you prepared for that event. So we'll talk about that. We'll do that next. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey with It's Your Turn. Butler Ambulance Service not only serves the largest portion of Butler County for 911 ambulance response, but they also offer CPR and first aid training classes and are a leader in wheelchair van assistance too. Butler Assist Coach, a division of Butler Ambulance, provides county residents with medical and non-medical wheelchair van transportation for general doctor visits, shopping, or even transportation to an event. To learn more, visit butlerambulance.com or to schedule a transport, call 724-283-4385. Butler Ambulance Service. Care you can count on. Welcome back to the program. I'm Tracy Morgan. Nice to have you back with us. Just about a half hour left in our show today, and so we're going to take the next 15 minutes and talk to the Carnegie Science Center about an event that's happening that's rather rare. I mean, it's not an unheard of event, and it will happen again. It's just something that doesn't happen that often. And since I am not a scientist, I couldn't even help lead into this other than to say this is called a super blue blood moon, set to appear on January 31st. So we're going to leave it to the experts. Ralph Crew is with us, a program developer, development coordinator for Buell Planetarium at the Science Center. So, Ralph, first of all, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you taking some time today to talk about this.
Yeah, absolutely. I love talking about space anytime I can.
I just need you in my hip pocket because I never know what's going on up there, and it's just so intriguing. And I look at the sky and say, okay, what's that star? And I know the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper, and that's about it.
Well, that's a good start. You can do a lot with those two.
That's
right. I can definitely
show
you around the sky sometime.
That's right. That'd be great. And I love the planetarium, and we're going to be talking about an event here in a minute that's going to coincide with a real actual event. So I want to start with the real actual event that's coming up on January 31st. And
yes,
it's the blood moon. Is that what you call it?
There are those that call it a blood moon. So there is an eclipse that's going on. Now, this one is unusual because it's also a blue moon, which is when there's the second full moon in a month. It's very rare for that to happen since a month is almost the same length as a lunar cycle. In fact, that's where we get the word for a month. So seeing two full moons in one month is quite unusual. And then the moon will be passing behind the Earth and entering the Earth's shadow, so it will be blocked and will turn an eerie reddish color. And that's because the only light that will hit the moon at that time is light that is refracted through the Earth's atmosphere. A way of looking at it is thinking that, you know, from the moon's point of view, it's seeing all of the sunrises and sunsets of the Earth all at once.
That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's a pretty special event. Now, unfortunately for us here on the East Coast, that happens right after the moon sets on the morning of the 31st. You can see it just getting started at around 7 o'clock in the morning.
You know, it's always our luck, right? It's either in the middle of the night, or it's raining, or it's snowing,
or
something.
It's cloudy. Yeah,
right? It's like, why us? But it is fun to be able to see these kind of things when we can catch them. But explain to me again on, go back to the point on how the moon is seeing all the sunsets and sunrises at the same time, because wouldn't there be a side of the moon or Earth that is being hidden?
Right. So the moon is essentially going to be hidden from the sun. The moon's going to pass into the shadow, the darkest part of the Earth's shadow called the umbra. It's another name for a total lunar eclipse is an umbral eclipse. But even when it's in that shadow, the atmosphere of the Earth acts almost like a lens and bends some of the sun's light around. So if you could be where the moon is, the sun would be totally blocked out by the Earth, but the edges of the Earth would be illuminated by the Earth's atmosphere bending sunlight. And now different wavelengths of sunlight bend different amounts and are scattered different amounts. So it is the red wavelengths, like the same kind of reason that we see red during a sunset, that is the only kind of light that really makes it through, and that's what will bend around the Earth and then hit the moon, and the moon will be much darker than normal since it's not getting direct sunlight, but the light it is getting will be this beautiful deep red, blood red color, hence the name blood moon.
Okay, then why is it called a super blue blood moon? Because,
well,
I would think that it would be blue just by the name.
Right, so the blue moon name does not actually imply that the moon would be blue. You'd think so, right? It sounds like it would, but it's just a name for the second full moon in a single month. You may have heard the expression, something is so rare it happens once in a blue moon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's because that's just a very unusual event. Usually we get one full moon per month, but occasionally we'll get two if the cycle just lines up just perfectly. A blue moon will only ever occur usually on the 30th or 31st of a month. You won't see it any earlier than that. And that would also mean that the first full moon of the month would have to be on the 1st or the 2nd.
So you said that this kind of event won't occur for quite some time. When did you say the next one should occur?
So the next one, where we're going to get a lunar eclipse and a blue moon at the same time, is in about 10 years. So
in
we've
10
got about
years.
A decade before that happens again.
And we're talking about the moon, so we don't need the glasses, right? That's only
nope.
for the sun.
No, there's no danger of hurting your eyes. In fact, the moon will become slightly darker than normal. And I should mention, you called it a super blue blood moon, and that's because the moon will be just about in its supermoon phase. You may have heard that expression. Recently in astronomy, in pop culture, people have been getting very excited about supermoons. It's something that's actually happened for all time. But what it is when the moon happens to be full during the point in its orbit where it's also closest to us, so it appears at its biggest. And this one is actually not quite all the way super, but it's close. So it's bigger than average. So we have this slightly bigger than average moon that's unusual to see it twice in January, and having it be a lunar eclipse makes for a quite unusual night of lunar observing.
Ralph, kind of off the topic a little bit, but when you're talking about how the moon looks, I'm wondering, does the moon look differently throughout the year? Because I know at Halloween, it looks a little different to me anyway than it does in the middle of the summer. Or is it the atmosphere that's around us during that time of the season that just kind of gives it a different kind of look?
Well, we do see a couple of differences throughout the year, some of which are atmospheric and some of which are really caused by our orientation in space. So if the moon is low on the horizon, it will tend to seem bigger. It's not actually. This is an illusion that people, and even though I'm aware that it's an illusion, it still looks that way to me as well. So the moon will seem to appear bigger seen in context at the horizon, you know, next to buildings and mountains and things like that. Up in the middle of the sky, the moon will appear smaller. Now, the color of the moon will also be different when it's low on the horizon because the atmosphere affects the light that's coming to us from the moon and will filter out some of that light. So low on the horizon, there's a lot more atmosphere that the light has to travel through. If you're looking straight up, that's the thinnest sort of direction. Like straight up above our heads, there's about 60 miles of atmosphere before we get to outer space. But low on the horizon, it's more like 600 miles. So that makes a big difference in the way the light from the moon appears, and so the moon can look maybe an eerie orange color. You mentioned at Halloween, often we'll see a moon that appears big and like almost like a pumpkin, right? That orange color, and that is an atmospheric effect. But because of the way the Earth and Moon and Sun are oriented in space, it doesn't take the same path through the sky all year. In the wintertime is my favorite time to see the moon. The moon takes a very high path through the night sky, and it takes a long time to do that, and then in the summertime it takes a much lower path through the sky, and that does sort of change the way the moon will look, especially for those who do astronomy. If you're doing backyard astronomy with even binoculars or a telescope, the moon, you'll have a nice cleaner image of the moon in the winter because it's high up in the sky. You'll have less atmospheric distortion because of that.
I know we're trying to focus on the event that's coming up on the 31st with the super blue blood moon, but since I have you, if you don't mind me asking you this, since we're talking about the moon, why is it some days that I can see the moon and the sun at the same time? Like you can see what the remnants of what would be the moon because the sun's coming up.
Sure. No, and actually on almost every day, if you're careful, you can see the moon and the sun at the same time. It is a myth that the moon's the only night of the month where the moon is up only when the sun is down is the full moon. And any other time, the moon will be on the sunlit side of the Earth at least for a few moments. Now, at some points, when the moon is on the same side of the Earth as the sun, it's so close to the sun that the sun's light sort of drowns it out. That's what happens during a new moon. During a new moon, you won't see the moon at all, and that's just because it's close to the sun in the sky, and the sun is so bright that we don't see the moon. But say at halfway around towards the full moon, so some people will call a quarter moon phase. At that point, the moon is sort of off to the side of the Earth in space relative to the sun. Like if we're on the Earth looking at the sun, which you shouldn't do.
Yes, right. Yeah.
If we're facing the sun, the moon will be a 90-degree angle through in the sky away from the sun at that point. And the moon will still be reflecting sunlight to us, and that's why the moon will also be at a half phase. You'll see the moon in between its crescent and gibbous phases there. And so we see that all the time. Now, my favorite time to observe the moon, you can see it up as the sun is setting, is shortly after a new moon, and you'll see a thin crescent of the moon at that time. And then after the sun sets, you'll notice that the dark part of the moon is also somewhat visible. Have you ever noticed this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when you can see the dark side of the moon a little bit, it's usually only when the moon is a very thin crescent. And that's because that dark part of the moon is getting light reflected onto it from the Earth. So a lot of times we really forget that, you know, the Earth's light hits the moon as well. So sunlight will hit the Earth, bounce off into space, but it may hit the moon, and in that case, it hits the moon and illuminates the dark side a little. And we call this effect Earthshine, which is just one of my favorite astronomical terms. And it's a really beautiful effect, too. So in about 2 weeks after the super blue blood moon, you'll be able to see that, and you can see the dark part of the moon illuminated brighter than the darkness of space around it from light reflecting from the Earth, from the Earthshine, which I think is just a really cool thing to observe.
I think it's cool just to hear you talk because...
No, I get excited about it.
Wow, you know? But no, it's just fascinating because it's an area that a lot of us don't dive into. We hear people like you talk and go, wow, and then we go about our lives and don't really appreciate what's actually going on outside in our universe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's something, you know, here at the Science Center, we try to really encourage people to get curious and take a look. We have a program that I invite any, you know, anyone in the public to come check out. It's called Sky Watch. We do it at least once a month. Our next one is on the 26th, so that's actually this Friday. And it is, we have a 7 o'clock and a 9 o'clock session, and we use both our planetarium and a very large telescope up on our roof so you can see the real thing. We have a great staff of astronomy volunteers and educators, and we'll be taking a look at the moon as it heads towards its super blue blood moment. And we also can see things like planets and constellations and other galaxies, even if the conditions are just right. So it's a pretty special event. And it's something that, you know, anyone can come and see. Sometimes I think people get intimidated almost by space, and they hear astrophysicists talk about it, and you know, it can get a little bit intense as far as, you know, it can get a little academic, but it doesn't have to be. And this sort of thing is accessible to anybody. You know, we have people from 3 years old up to their 90s coming to our Skywatch events, and I think it's really exciting, and there's something about it. The more I know about the night sky when I look at it, the more beautiful it looks to me.
Let me ask you this. Let me go back to the telescope for a moment because I've been to the planetarium. I love sitting there. I love, again, just being in the moment, if you will, and hearing you speak and being educated. So when does is the telescope in every one of your presentations, or is that a little different? Is that only for the Skywatch programs?
Yes, so that is only for the Skywatch programs. Of course, it happens at night, so the Science Center is typically closed, but we will be open just for the Skywatch event, and that happens once a month. As I mentioned before, the next one is on Friday the 26th, and then they happen all year round. Now, one of the nice things about it is if our telescope has an incredible view. So we have this telescope on the roof of the Science Center. So you're five stories up right on the Ohio River, right across from the point. The view of downtown Pittsburgh is amazing. You should see it when there's fireworks at a Pirates game. But we also have this beautiful view of the night sky. And if it happens to be cloudy and we don't see the moon or the planets, we also, of course, still have our Buell Planetarium, a really spectacular theater of the stars that people can come and see what we would like to see upstairs. So we have a really great combination of both digital and technological representations of the universe and then the real thing. And our staff is always, we have a lot of staff that come to these events. You can always get some one-on-one time. If you have questions, it's a really great opportunity. If you have questions about things like if you want to try to get into astronomy yourself, maybe you haven't looked through a telescope and you want to see what kinds of telescopes make sense or that kind of thing, it's also a really great opportunity.
It is. The super blue blood moon is going to be appearing on January 31st. That's not exclusive to the planetarium.
That is worldwide.
Worldwide, not even on the web.
Anyone who can see the sky will be able to see that, yeah.
So that's what we wanted to focus on. So you know what, Ralph, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. I appreciate you explaining to us.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much. Ralph Crew with the Buell Planetarium at the Carnegie Science Center in Pittsburgh. He's a program development coordinator. And just fascinating stuff. I do. I love when people are able to educate me on what's going around the world. So it's nice to be able to hear him talk about that. So that's going to be on the 31st. If you can catch it, do. If not, then go to the Science Center and they can at least get you prepared to watch it. All right, so we have a few more minutes in our show. We'll be back here in just a couple of minutes, and we'll close out the show together. I'm Tracy Morgan, in for Dave Malarkey for It's Your Turn.
Midday lottery numbers for today. The pick 2 is 32, 32. The pick 3, 821, 821. The pick 4, 7990. The pick 5, 99310. The wild ball for each of those is 7. The treasure hunt is 5, 11, 15, 17, and 19. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way. Getting there stops here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Who says a cup of coffee can't do a world of change? That a slice of pizza can't feed an entire family? People's Gas is partnering with local businesses near you in an effort to empower charities and build stronger communities. People's will make a donation to the charity each business selects, whether it's for every cup of coffee you drink, every ice cream sundae you enjoy, or every t-shirt you purchase. Together, they've donated $56,000, one cup at a time. People's Gas and you can make a difference. Visit People's website for more information.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Tracy Morgan in for Dave Malarkey, who's just not here today. We're taking a shift over one more time. And since Saturday is our day for the Butler County Wine Festival, we've been talking to different wineries throughout the week because each winery is different. They have their own specialties, and then we get to taste them all when we're here on Saturday at the Butler Days Inn. Tickets are still available. We'll go through all of that detail for you after we're done with Scott Neely, because Scott is with us right now, and he's the owner of Kingview Mead. This is a great winery because it's a little different. We'll tell you why, but first, Scott, welcome to the program.
Hello, hello.
It's nice to talk to you. A second year in a row that you're going to be here, so I know a lot of people like to come to this wine festival, and when they find their favorite, they lock right on, and they come right back to you.
For sure.
That's true. So talk about your wine, because mead is a little bit different in wine. So how is this wine different?
Yeah, so when you're thinking of mead, you think of honey. That's what's being used as the fermentable sugar to make the wine. So mead equals honey, and typical wine uses grapes. So our mead is a little bit different, or our wines are a little bit different because we're focusing on mead. We do produce traditional grape wines and even hard cider. But the reason we focused on mead is we have a give back program where we give back to beekeepers and donate hives to them. And mead is just, it's something different. We actually convert a lot of wine drinkers to mead drinkers once they have our product.
Is there a lower sugar content in it? I mean, when you're talking honey, it's still, it's going to have a sugar content to it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, there's actually a pretty high sugar content to it. So it takes a little bit less honey to make the same alcohol content as wine. When you're talking alcohol, you're looking at between 7 and 14%, which is typical wines as well. So it's just about how much honey you use in the process.
And how long did it take you to understand what the perfect flavor was? Because if you do learn how to make wine with grapes, that's going to be one process. And then to forget about all that and then switch it over to a whole nother process would take a lot of education, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. I've been doing it for about 7 years. And while it's easy to make alcohol from honey, it's not easy to make it taste good.
Okay.
To be honest. It's, you know, completely dried out fermented honey doesn't taste real well. So it's taken quite a bit. You know, I start out making, up to 18 batches at a time. Before I perfected my recipe. But we've done really well. I've won some best in class, best in show for it. So it's definitely an art form to make good mead.
So how then do you make it taste good? I mean, when you say it's hard to make it taste good and yet you are successful at doing that, what's your trick? If you don't want to give away this family secret, I understand. But, I mean, how do you end up making it taste so good?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of things. First of all, you got to start with good honey. You know, we travel across Pennsylvania to beekeepers. We're very tied, closely tied to that organization, the PA Beekeeping Association. So you've got to start with good honey, first of all. Clean, you know, filtered honey. The next, you know, part of that is really in how you treat that honey, because you're trying to break down something that honestly can last thousands of years. It doesn't necessarily have natural yeast that eat it. So that process is where the trade secrets come in. It takes practice, it takes time, and it takes patience.
So when you're using honey for this particular makeup, are you using the solid honey or are you using the liquefied honey?
Yeah, well, it has to be liquefied. So we'll warm it up. If the honey is crystallized, we'll warm it up and you blend it with water, right? So basic mead is water, honey, and yeast. That's your quote-unquote standard mead. But there is a whole spectrum of meads out there and styles of making mead, just like wines and just like beers. And you just experiment and explore from there.
So do you have a favorite blend or a favorite flavor that you make that's really popular?
So right now we have a happy apple pie, which is it's an apple and honey mead with spices, and it really tastes like apple pie in your mouth. It's like liquid apple pie. That one's super popular right now. Do I have a favorite? I don't. I mean, I want to make a drink that people want more than one glass of. And so that's what I focus on, just drinkable, smooth mead, because a lot of mead can be pretty harsh. But we try to make it as smooth as possible.
So we're going to talk about what you're going to bring here in just a moment. But if we are out traveling, because, of course, summer is right around the corner. We wish it was tomorrow, but it's not. And so we'll be traveling and getting out there. Where do we find you at Kingview?
Yeah, so we're located in Pleasant Hills. Right now we're still small. We're still a year and a half in. So we don't have people come here unless you order online and do a local pickup. But we are found in Whole Foods. We're found in some Giant Eagles. We are in 10 state stores, so you can order through the state store system or go to one of those 10 stores around the region. And then local bars and restaurants, we hit those up pretty frequently, so there's definitely a handful of those out there that have us. And then we do festivals like, you know, like this one. So if you follow us on Facebook, that's the best way to kind of see what we're doing or where we're going. But we're kind of scattered around throughout Western PA. We also have a tasting room in Penn State. So it's called the Barnett Lamont. And, you know, it's our kind of central hub for supplying us for all the festivals around the state.
What got you interested in this, since you say you're, I mean, not startup as in this year, but you're a young business in the way of businesses go. What got you started? What got you interested?
Yeah, so I've always looked for an opportunity to build a company that filled, you know, several criteria. And, you know, we were visiting wineries and had just such a great time. And you're growing something and making something from the land, which, you know, is kind of the heart of me as a person. Why I chose mead, though, was for that give back. It completed the cycle of, hey, let's, you know, support the bees. They pollinate, create more food, give us honey, we'll create alcohol, go out, you know, have a great time with it, educate people about it. That will give us more money to go and give more hives to beekeepers, give everybody more food, and just, you know, the cycle goes on and on.
So this weekend at the Butler County Wine Festival at the Butler Days Inn, will you have that kind of information with you? Because, yes, it's fun to go and you love to taste wine, but it's intriguing to know that this is different than all the others.
Yeah, on our banner, you'll see the Mead for Bees program. And that's something we started out doing right from the get-go. It wasn't something we adopted. It was part of the fabric of why I chose mead. And we do talk to people about it very frequently. We, as a winery, have to educate people first, what is mead, right? And then we get into why we're making it and how that supports. So we do have some literature on it as well. If you go to our website, you can read all about it at kingviewmead.com as well.
And, of course, Facebook, like you said, Kingview Mead is the winery that we're talking to. Of course, Scott Neely is the owner, talking to him just for another minute or two. But, Scott, what will you be bringing to us then in the way of this festival? What will we find at your booth?
Yeah, so we'll have an assortment of meads, probably five or six different meads with us. We'll also have three wines, so three grape wines, and then we'll have our traditional hard cider that we'll bring with us. So we'll have about 10 items for people to sample, and it ranges from sweet to dry. You know, most people think mead is very sweet, but it doesn't have to be. We have some very successful dry recipes as well.
So you would have to make it sweet or make it dry? Because I'm curious when you say, I thought too there was just, it was mead and that was it. But you're saying there is a range, and how do you get it to be sweet or dry?
Yeah, it's all about how much sugar you put in versus the tolerance of the yeast. So yeast, once it creates alcohol, will die off once it hits a certain alcohol percentage. And each yeast is a little bit different. So if you put more sugar content in the product via honey, that the yeast will completely eat through. If there's some left over, that creates some residual sweetness.
When you get the yeast, do you stick with the same type of yeast, or is each batch of yeast that you get every time you make wine, is that a little different?
It depends on the variety. So, you know, with us, if we're making like a berry mead that uses fresh berries, then we'll use a certain type of yeast. If we're making our standard mead, it's a, you know, another type of yeast. I do a lot of combinations of yeast as well, so I make it pretty complex. Again, you know, that's where we get into some of that experimentation I've been doing for so many years.
So it's Kingview Mead, as in MEAD.com, right?
Correct, yep.
Okay, Scott, we will see you on Saturday. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Tracy.
So let's talk about the wine festival here for just a couple of minutes, because this is now just a couple of days away, and I want you to make sure that you have the information that you need in case that you would like to come and save yourself money, in case you'd just like to come. Let's just get the details. So this is the 12th Annual Wine Festival in Butler County. It's at the Butler Days Inn on the 27th, so this will be on Saturday. You're going to have wineries there, multiple wineries. Of course, it's the elegant atmosphere that you have. You'll have specialty businesses there that those vendors are selling products as well. You're going to have munchies there because, hey, you can't go to a wine festival without having something to eat. So we got some munchies for you as well, that's also going to be there. A fundraising effort is also going to be underway for the YMCA, the annual support campaign. So all of this is going to be a part of the wine festival this year. Now, there are two different sessions. You can either choose from the 2-5 session or the 6-9 session. So either one of those sessions, good to go. If you get tickets today, if you get tickets early on tomorrow, you have a pre-sale price of $20. Now, if you just want to wait until Saturday and just show up at the door, as long as tickets aren't sold out, the tickets will then be $25, so not that big of an increase, but still it would be a couple of dollars more. So that's $25 at the door, Butler Days Inn, January 27th. With that ticket, you're going to be able to get a 6.5-ounce tasting glass, so just about a 6-ounce glass, and you're going to get a refreshment voucher, and that's good for one visit to our refreshment booth. So all of those details are on our website at butlerradio.com. You can also go online to WISR680.com. And looking at Saturday, because I was looking at the weather forecast, in the past, I mean, we have been at these wine festivals, well, for quite a few years. It would be 12 years since it's the 12th Annual Wine Festival. And there have been some years it has snowed, and some years that it's just been miserable, some years just cold, and then some years that it's just been sunny and gorgeous, and it's a great day to get outside. On Saturday, it looks like it's going to be cloudy, and there should be some showers. 52 for a high, that's your forecast. But I still say it's a perfect day, because if it's raining, you can't do much outside. But you want to get outside, because we've been in the house all winter long. So it's a perfect fit. So Saturday, even though it should be rain showers, not snow showers, because again, a high of 52 is not going to allow for snow showers. It'll be just some rain, and us, and you, and together, we'll get together for the Butler County Wine Festival. All right, that wraps it up for us, as a matter of fact. Tomorrow is going to be some time with City Hall, as Dave calls it. It's City Council they'll be in. We're also going to be talking tomorrow to the South Butler County Library. They have some renovations that will be going on for the next couple of weeks. That starts this weekend. But they are not closing down while the renovations are going on. So we'll iron out all the details tomorrow with them in a lengthy conversation. And then we're going to talk about the gerrymandering, the redistricting of Pennsylvania, because, of course, that decision was made this week. And so what's it mean? And now what happens? We'll cover that tomorrow as well. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. I'm Tracy Morgan, in for Dave Malarkey with It's Your Turn.
The Knock Knights are back on the road Friday night, and WISR will be along with them. Hi, everyone. This is Scott Briggs inviting you to join me as Knock travels to Montour to take on the Spartans. We'll have all the action beginning at about 7:15 with the pregame show. 7:30 is tip-off from Montour. It's all presented here on WISR in part by the law firm of Conlon Tarker, the John W. Thrower Cement Corporation of Saxonburg, Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, the law firm of Dylan McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham, Troy Allen Chevrolet in Slippery Rock, and Troy Allen Buick in Katanning, Butler County District Attorney Rich Goldinger, and the Butler Health System. It's Knock and Montour Friday night right here on WISR, WISR680.com, and on the Trib Live High School Sports Network.
This is Butler's hometown radio station, your source.